Welcome to Rehoboth New Life Center, located at 1102 West Highland Avenue, on the corner of 21st and Highland. The name Rehoboth means God has made room. If you don't have a church home, let Rehoboth be the place where God has made room for you. For more information, call 414-755-2296 or visit our website at www.rehobothnewlife.com. And now this week's message.
They find Luke chapter 15, verse 11. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And the topic of my message today, and I won't be very long, is the blessing and the birthright. This story is not only about the prodigal son. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted, say wasted, his substance with riotous living. Let's bow our heads one more time. Lord, we ask you, oh God, to anoint the words that I shall speak. Lord, let it touch someone's heart. Let it lift someone's soul. We ask for the anointing, Lord God. We ask for your presence in such a powerful way. Oh God, we just thank you right now for all that you're doing in Rehoboth. Oh God, overshadow this assembly. Let your presence be here, oh God. Touch every heart in Jesus' name. You may be seated. As I said, most of us who've grown up in church or gone to Sunday school, we've heard the story of the prodigal son, of how the younger son decided it was time to get his. He didn't want to wait till the old man croaked. He didn't want to wait till he died to get his inheritance. So he demanded it today. He wanted it right now. And the surprising thing is that the father said, "Okay, I'll let you have it." And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted it with riotous living. Now, this sermon actually is not about the prodigal son, because there were two sons. And so this message is really about the elder son, the other son. He was the one who stayed at home. He was the one who cleaned out the yard. He was the one that was always working. He was the one that hadn't left home, hadn't wasted the father's money. He was the one that cleaned out the vineyard, did the stable, mowed the lawn, cut the grass. But we don't hear too much about him. But yet, he's in this story too. He's in this story. Now, the amazing thing about having children is that most people, when they decide to have children, usually end up with more than one. You notice that? Very rarely do you see someone who's an only child. There is some, of course. But most of the time, people who have children end up usually with two or more. But this is about the blessing and the birthright. This story of the prodigal son is really a story of total selfishness on the part of the younger son. Took his father's inheritance, wasted it. Gonna have a good time. I'm young, let me enjoy myself now. A lot of people have that attitude. As soon as they get to a certain age, able to make their own decisions, they go party hardy. Let me go and get what's coming to me. Let me just go out there and just have a good time. Really, it's selfish. In the end, it's usually self-destructive. But this story is also about one of the father's love. The Bible says every day he was out there looking. What happened? What happened to my son? Those of you who are parents know that. You're always worrying about your children. When you can't see them, even when they're grown up, you're wondering, how are they doing? Are they okay? The father was out there looking. But he had another son. He had another son. And this message, the focus of it is about the other son. The other son did all the Father's bidding. He was the good son, so to speak. Many of us, when we become Christians and we labor in the vineyard and we struggle and we work, we start to feel a lot like the other son. Where is all my stuff? When am I going to get to party? When is it going to happen for me? 20 years I've been serving God. Nothing's happened. And then we see all these other people, Johnny come ladies, God just starts to bless them. Things start to happen. They seem to have God's favor. And yet you who have been faithful, coming to church every day, every year, Tuesday night, Thursday night, it seems that you're forgotten. Nothing is happening to you. We jump down to verse 25 of Luke 15. And just to show you how the elder son was, where was he when the other son came back? Bible says, now the elder son was in the field. He was working. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard all kind of music. The party was in full swing. Things were happening. It was jumping. And he called one of the servants and asked, what's going on here? And he said, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. You know, that's how we feel. How come God seems to bless all these other people who weren't living for you all this time, weren't doing what I've been doing? I've been working hard in the vineyard. When did I get a chance to have a good time? Verse 28, and he was angry. Some of us get a little bitter sometimes, don't we? We've been serving God. We've been doing the work. Where is the inheritance? Where is the blessing? Where is the birthright? And yet we see somebody else come in and immediately all sorts of good things start to happen to them. And we get just a teeny weeny bit. God, where are you? Where is my party? Where's my fatted calf? And he answering said to the father, lo, these many years do I serve thee. How many times have we said that? Lord, I've been serving you many years, and I've been praying for a blessing. I've been praying for a car. I've been praying for a home. I've been praying for a job. Where is it? Hasn't happened yet. What's happening in my life? I don't see the blessing. I don't see the things happen. Yet all these other people who weren't serving you, who did all these other kind of things, they seem to be doing so good. In fact, David said that when he saw the prosperity of the wicked, it seems that the people who don't love God, who are evil, things just happen for them. The party's always happening. The good things are always coming to them. And yet you who are trying to live your life according to God, the boss gets on your case. You may even lose your job. The rent bill becomes due. The electricity bill becomes due. God, where are you? I have stayed in the vineyard. I've stayed in the field. I've been working in your house. Where is the blessing? We don't know how long it was that the elder son was still at home working. He had never demanded his inheritance. He never asked for the blessing. Yet the younger son had taken it and wasted it. And now he comes home and the father throws him a party. That's not fair. That's not right. Sometimes we get just a little bit bitter. We say, God, what's happening? Why hasn't all this stuff happened to me? I've been praying. I've been serving you. And yet I'm still struggling. Things are not working out for me. I'm still suffering. And yet it seems other people, they come and instantly things start to open up for them. What's happening, God? You see, there's a difference between the blessing and the birthright. There were two things that God gave in the Old Testament. Was the blessing and the birthright. And many of us have mixed up the difference between the blessing and the birthright. The blessing and the birthright. Now, if you turn to Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 16, and I'm going to be more teaching today than preaching, but I hope you get this message. Because it will help you, I believe, get over some of your frustration. Because there is a difference between the blessing and the birthright. We find in Deuteronomy that God laid out the law of inheritance. Then it shall be, when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved the firstborn. What this was speaking about was, if a man had two sons, in the Old Testament, of course, they were allowed to have more than one wife. And if he had two sons, and one of them was not by the favored wife, but he was the firstborn, that the father could not just take away his inheritance. It says, then it shall be when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated. God was saying, no, you can't do that. Whoever was born first has the birthright. And just because that wasn't your favorite wife, you can't change it. But it says in verse 17, but he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion. You see, the sign of the birthright was a double portion. In the Old Testament, if a man had two sons, when he died, his inheritance was divided into three. And the firstborn was given the birthright, which was the double portion. If he had four sons, his inheritance would be divided into five. And the firstborn son would be given two-fifths, the double portion. That was the right of the birthright. But there was something else that the father could give, and that was the blessing. And the blessing was much better than the birthright. You see, the birthright was just what the father had at the time. All it was material things. All it was material. Now you may say, well, I'll take that. I'll take the material. I'll take the land and the cows and the farm. I'll take the car and the truck and the pickup. You know what happens in big families? When the parents die and they leave no will, there's usually a big fight. And there's a big falling out. Because this one, I wanted the china. She promised me the fridge. He told me I was supposed to get the pickup. That's what happens. That's what happens. Because there's a big falling out. Because they all think that they deserve the birthright. The birthright is the physical substance. It's the material things. But the trouble with the birthright is once you get it, that's all you're going to get. When you get the birthright, it's all upon you what you do with it. You see, the prodigal son got the birthright of being the second born. The father just gave it to him and said, okay, that's what you asked for. Take it. Do what you want with it. And he was on his own. When you just get the birthright, all you're getting is the physical stuff. You're on your own. Some people can do good with it. Some people waste it. But the people who thought the birthright was the thing missed it. Because the greatest thing was the blessing. The blessing. See, the birthright is just about things. And you know about things? They get old. They fade. They decay. You ever bought something and just put it down and you come back and didn't use it and it seemed like it's gotten old already? You see, the goods, the sheep, the camels, that was just things. But it didn't really compare to the blessing. See, the blessing was not about present material things, but was about something in the future. Spiritual leadership. If you got the blessing, when the Father gave you the blessing, He wasn't giving you just the material things, but it was saying that you are not alone. You may not have got anything physical out of the blessing, but you got something great. Because the blessing conferred God's favor. It meant that God had chosen you to carry on the family line. See, there's a difference between the birthright and the blessing. Many of us think because we see someone else getting the birthright that we've lost out. But you see, if you just get the birthright, you're on your own. You may not be smart enough to handle it. I know I'm no good with money. I spend it. But if you have the blessing, you don't need the money. Because what will come to you is God's favor. God's presence. God says, you're my child. I'm with you. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you. You see, the person who thinks that it's all about the birthright is missing. The spiritual leadership of the family name went with the blessing. God's calling and a promise that your future would be assured went with the blessing. Now, normally, both the birthright and the blessing went to the firstborn. But we find out in Scripture that that was not all the case. Always the case. Because you could lose the blessing. And we see that many times in Scripture. We find that Reuben, who was Jacob's oldest son, lost not only the birthright, but he also lost the blessing. The father chose to give it to someone else. Just because we are firstborn, just because we come to church, just because we say we're Christian, doesn't mean we get either the birthright or the blessing. It's the father's choice. Jacob chose to skip over Reuben, skip over Simeon, skip over some other sons. And he gave the birthright to Joseph. Now, how did he give the birthright to Joseph? And I'm going to stop teaching today. Joseph had two sons. And what Jacob did was, he came to Joseph and he said, your two sons, which are my grandsons, I am going to adopt them directly. And in so doing then, Ephraim and Manasseh became sons of Jacob. So instead of 12 tribes, there were 13 tribes, which is what would have happened on the death of Jacob. His inheritance would have been split into 13. And so two portions were given, in effect, to Joseph. So Joseph got the birthright. But believe it or not, he did not get the blessing. Because the blessing doesn't just come by how you were born or even how you live. It is God's sovereign choice. The blessing came to Judah. The blessing came to you. What I'm trying to show you today is don't be looking at other people's blessing and their birthrights. That's what I'm really trying to show you today. Don't be looking on the prodigal son who's come back and the father thrown him a party. Because if you have the blessing, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. It's going to happen. God's favor is with you. You see, the prodigal son had the birthright, but he was on his own. He could not manage it. He wasted it. He turned it into a pile of nothing. But if you have the blessing, it doesn't matter where you are or what you have. You see, Jacob was not supposed to get either the birthright or the blessing. Esau was the firstborn. But he sold his portion. Remember what he did? He came in and he was so hungry that he did not value the birthright. So he said to his brother, look, boy, that smells so good. He was a fleshly person. Man, if I die now, I'm going to die. He wouldn't have died. And he gave up one of his portions to Jacob, thinking, well, I still got the blessing. That's the most important thing. But then, of course, you know the story how his mother tricked his father and told Jacob to dress up like Esau. And Isaac was a little bit blind, and he gave him, Jacob, the blessing. Now look at this. Jacob had to run away from home. When he ran away from home because his brother found out that he had gotten the blessing, what did he leave with? Nothing. But you know what he had? The blessing. When he left home, he left with nothing. The other brother had everything. He had still his birthright. But Jacob left home with nothing but the blessing. The night he ran away, he camped out in the desert, and his pillow was a rock. But the place where he camped, because of the blessing, turned out to be the house of God. He saw a ladder stretching up to heaven and the angels of God ascending and descending. You see, what I'm trying to tell you is don't look at the prodigal son. Don't look at the material blessing, birthright that is happening to other people, because if they don't have God, they don't have the blessing.
That's right.
If they don't have God, they don't have the blessing. Don't worry about it. Don't fret about it. If you have the blessing, you may have zero birthright. But if you have the blessing, everything else is going to come. He left home with zero. But you notice his life story. Everything he touched turned to gold. Why? Because he had the blessing. You who have stayed at Father's house, you who have been cleaning out the stables, you have been doing all the work, coming to church, you have the blessing. You may not see the birthright right now. You may not seem like you're getting anything now. But just like Jacob, you may be camping and your pillow is a rock. You don't have nothing in this material world. But if you have the blessing, you have it all, I'm telling you. If you have the blessing and you believe you have the blessing, you have it all. You see, the blessing is the most important. Esau sold his for just some food. He didn't value what it was worth. 1 Chronicles 5, chapter 5, verse 1, we see that even though by right Reuben should have been the firstborn, he should have gotten both the blessing and the birthright. It says, 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 1, "Now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was the firstborn, but forasmuch as he defiled his father's bed, he lost the birthright and the blessing, was given to the sons of Joseph." Now, I'm just trying to show you how much the blessing is better than the birthright. That the blessing is better than the material things. Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and the tribe of Joseph, got the birthright, the material, but they got the double portion. But yet, after Joseph went away, what do we hear of Ephraim and Manasseh? Nothing. The blessing went to Judah. And even though he didn't do right, because the blessing was with his line, Judah is the line through which eventually, here comes the Messiah. Because the blessing is what's important. If you have the blessing, don't worry about what the other person has. Don't worry about the fact that they seem to be getting all right and things are going fine. If you leave the house with zero, but you have the Father's blessing. If you've been working in the vineyard and the other son has gone and wasted his, don't worry. I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, the birthright and the blessing were the Father's choice. He could give it to whom he wanted. Jacob gave the birthright, the double portion, to Joseph. And while Joseph was alive, he was blessed. But because they didn't have the blessing, the line ended there. It went to Judah because Judah received the blessing. The double portion is good. It's great to get the material things. But you know what's going to happen? After a while, they're all going to fade away. The pharaohs built these huge pyramids. Spent nearly their whole life building these pyramids, stuffed it full of gold, stuffed it full of treasures, diamonds, precious spices, thinking they could take the birthright with them. Less than 100 years after Moses then died, those pyramids had been pillaged, looted, and nothing was left. But if you have the birthright, if you have the blessing, that's what you take. That will go on to your children. 29, let's go back to that story, and I want to show you something. And I know I'm just talking today. Back to Luke 15. Many of us, we speak to God and we say just like that. Verse 29, he answering said to the father, Luke 15, I believe. Luke 15, 29. And he answering the father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee." Haven't we felt like that? "Lord, I've been serving you. I've been trying to do right. I've been trying to live right. I've been trying to pay my tithes. I've been giving to the church. And yet, nothing's happening for me. Yet, look what you do to this person over here. They've got the blessing and the birthright. It would seem, I at any time transgress thy commandment, and yet thou hast never given me even a little kid. A little goat to kill and have party with." See, your useless son comes home and look what you do for him. You give him the robe and you give him the ring and you have a big old party. You kill the very best, biggest animal we were saving for New Year's party and you give it to him. Yet me, who have been here all the time, cleaning the church, opening the doors, I don't get nothing. We get mad at God and say, "Lord, where's my portion?" You want to understand, when do you get your inheritance? When do you get your inheritance? Now, I want you to look very carefully what the father said to him. I'm going to jump down because I'm going to cut this short. Luke 15, 31. Now, look what the father says to the son who has stayed at home. "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." Now that sounds pretty good. That sounds pretty good. Now let's apply that to us. All of you who have been looking for the blessing and the birthright and all the other things that should come, we say, "Well, when are we going to get it? When is it going to happen?" Now, the Bible says in here in the parable that all that the Father has is ours. So where is it? Where is it? When is it going to happen? When do we get what the Father has? Let's stand. Told you I was going to keep this short. Now, what does the Father have right now?
Glory.
Because it's what the Father has right now that we have. Remember what he said, all that the Father has is thine. Well, what does the Father have right now? He rules the heavens. So what is our inheritance? The heavens. So when do we get the birthright part of it? Okay. Whenever the Father claims this earth. Look at this. Revelation 11, verse 16. Remember, all now that the Father has belongs to us. What does the Father have on earth right now? What did Jesus say when Satan was coming? He has nothing in me. He told Pilate, if this were my kingdom, then I would fight for it. So right now, what the Father has is ours. What does the Father have? The heavenly kingdom. You get it? But, Revelation 11, 15 is coming. And the seventh angel sounded. And there was a great voice in heaven saying, what? The kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of my daddy. All that the Father has is mine. When the kingdoms of this world becomes the kingdoms of my daddy, all that the Father has is mine. Maybe now you see when you will truly get not only the blessing, but the birthright. Actually, it's the double portion. The heavenly kingdom, the earthly kingdom, the double portion. Now, let's see when we inherit. Let's see when we inherit. The Bible says that we have come to the church of the firstborn.
Amen.
We are the church of the firstborn. So you know what that means? Not only do we get the blessing, but we get the birthright. You see, the problem is when we get the birthright. We get the blessing now. The Bible says we are seated together with them in heavenly places. Because all that the Father has is ours. What does the Father have right now? Heavenly places. But we see in Revelation that when that angel sounds, the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our, comes the kingdoms of my daddy. And he has told me, all that he has is mine. So you may not see your earthly birthright right now. Right now you have a heavenly birthright. You have stayed at Father's house, stayed working in the vineyard, and you're looking at the prodigal son. You're looking at the people out there who are getting blessed, skating by, doing all kinds of things. But remember this, all that the Father has is mine. He told that son, I am ever with you. All that I have is done. Do you understand? Instead of letting the prodigal son go with no parents, with no guidance, he said, all that I have is done. Not only that, I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make sure that what you have not just wastes away like the prodigal, like my younger son, but it's going to be blessed because I am ever with you. Ever with you. You see, in the end, we do get the double portion. The heavenly kingdom and the earthly kingdom. Your inheritance, your birthright is yet to come. Don't you be looking at the other son, because this story is about you. The faithful ones, the ones who have kept on going, the ones where you haven't seen anything happen. The Father hasn't thrown you a party yet. You haven't seen anything. All you've been doing is working, working, working. But there is a day coming when that angel sounds that trumpet. Kingdoms of this world becomes the kingdoms of my dad. And you know what that means? I inherit. I get to rule and I get to reign. I get all of this earthly kingdom plus the heavenly kingdom. The blessing and the birthright belongs to the church of the firstborn.
If you've enjoyed this message, and would like to hear more, please contact Pastor Mike at 414-755-2296. If you would prefer to contact us by email, our email address is pastor@rehobothnewlife.com. We would be glad to hear from you. May the Lord continue to bless you.